Our mentality as American Christians is to gravitate towards comfort. So let's enlarge the tent pegs of our prayer life. Let's enlarge the tent pegs of our worship. Let's enlarge the tent pegs of our hearts to make more room for the Spirit. If we are spending 30 minutes to an hour scrolling on social media, set aside that time for prayer. Let's not feel sorry for ourselves and staying stuck. Instead, we need to get angry, righteous anger, and say, no, I'm done. I'm done feeling this way. I'm done seeing my children struggling. I'm done dealing with arguing in my marriage. I'm done with us always feeling like we're misunderstanding each other. We're never getting to each other's heart and we're never achieving breakthrough. Stop right there. We have to do things differently. We have to see where the break is. We need to invite the Holy Spirit in.
Welcome to an episode of Rebuilding Ruins.
Hey guys, it's your girl Amina. Thank you guys so much for joining me on this week's episode. I missed out last week because I was dying in bed. Not literally, but it felt like it. No, it didn't feel like it. I'm being a little dramatical, but, and dramatical is not a word. Yes, I know, but you know what? I like to make up words to really give that extra pizzazz of what I was feeling. So, no, I was feeling all the body aches, and I'm not one to stay in bed, but that took me out. And I'm usually one of the last ones, if ever, to get sick. And I was like the one and only person. So that was kind of odd, but I made it through. I passed through, I'm here, I'm alive, and I'm just going to jump right in. So sorry if you guys were looking for an episode and there was no there for you. I'm sorry, but here I am today. I am going to do this episode. So, you know, every time I go to do an episode, I'm like, I don't want this to be about me. This isn't about an Oprah, you know, show. This isn't about that for me. I'm not gonna step into something just to do a little chit chat. You know, I could do that by myself in the bathroom mirror while I'm doing my hair. Those rare days that I actually do it. But, you know, I'm like, when I started with Rebuilding Ruins, I wanted it to be about God. I wanted to be a vessel that the Lord would use. And my God, He has taken me through a consecration process. Consecration process. A lot of fasting. And it will be like that day. And I don't necessarily feel like an urgency. Oh my gosh, I better fast. But it's like a whisper. Fast. And I'm like, and I'm really trying to train myself to really hone into the voice of God and respond, because most of the times I know it's God's voice because I don't want to fast. I don't want to fast my coffee. I don't want to fast, you know, drinking water, just water or things like that, you know. And I'm just like trying to do things then and there. When I feel like God is putting something on my heart, fasting or praying, I'm trying to really train myself to jump in and do it right then and there, because I have a personality that wants to do things perfect. And there's nothing wrong with having a spirit of excellence. But when it gets to a point where the spirit of excellence, you know, church language, gets you to a point to where you don't jump into something unless you're doing it exactly right, exactly perfect. And then if you mess up, you jump out of it and you're like, okay, I got to restart this all over again tomorrow. That's me. And, you know, like I felt like the Lord was putting it on my heart to do a Daniel fast. And I'm like, okay, well, I need to look at all the lists. I need to see what I can eat, what I can't eat, you know, all this stuff. And I was like, you know what? No, I'm not going to, I know I'm not going to do this perfectly. So what I am going to do is because I know the research phase can start to drag out and it can start to psych me out and like, oh my gosh, I got a meal prep for this. I'm going to have whatever. And so I said, you know what? I feel like the Lord is trying to, retrain me in a different way to just honor the yes and obedience, honor the obedience he is calling me to. So I felt that morning, okay, I know the basis of the Daniel fast is fruits, vegetables, and no caffeine, drinking water, you know, stuff like that, herbs and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to go so much into it that I'm like, okay, if I'm going to have a salad, I'm just going to reach for the ranch dressing. I'm not going to go so much into it that the preparation begins and ends there. So I'm like, I'm going to jump in. I really want to jump into what God is calling me to. And the coffee in and of itself was probably the most difficult part for me. And then shortly after that, I felt like the Lord was calling me to just do a water only fast. And that was also trying. But my heart in it is I just want to step into obedience to what God is calling us to do. Guys, it's not easy. It's not easy being obedient to God. And even like the little things like restructuring your home. Like maybe the Lord wants you to get rid of certain things in your home, certain practices. And it's not necessarily bad, but maybe you guys have a habit of, you know, watching TV all day. And you just have that on in the background. And the Lord's like, you know what? I want you to shut the TV off and I want you to put worship music on instead. I want that to be playing in the background of your home. Or maybe it's, instead of reading these books, I want you to replace it with reading scripture. He's trying to replace things in our lives to make more room for his spirit, to make more room for us to grow into who he is calling us to be. And we can't do that when we're in this mode of just doing things because we've always done them. They've always been a comfort to us. We have our routines. We have certain practices we do, you know, wake up, make our coffee, make our kids' lunches, send them off to school or, you know, whatever it is. We pop on TV and we let our kids watch certain, you know, cartoons that aren't necessarily bad. But maybe God's trying to call us to a higher level. And that is going to require some brand new practices. And I've shared with you guys, for our family, I've felt like the Lord is wanting us to really devote ourselves to prayer, fasting, you know, celebrating the Sabbath, really having a time of rest, which sometimes is a challenge because that is the time for us to get home projects done and stuff like that. And for us to just listen to his voice and devote ourselves more to scripture, devote ourselves more to worship. And what that looks like in our house is we're not of the Jewish faith. We're just Christian. We go to an Assemblies of God church, which is a phenomenal church, amazing pastor. We love them so much and just spirit filled. It has been so heavy on our hearts to do that. And so we have been, I just been making enough food on Friday to last us sometimes till Sunday. And so that whole day is really spent on prep work. So that ways we can really relax and rest in the Lord. Rest with each other. And so we'll have dinner together as a family. We don't necessarily always eat dinner together around the table every day of the week, but Fridays have become a sacred time where, and it, look, We have a large family, so we do the best we can. You know, we have kids that are now, you know, borderline adults that have work and other obligations. And so if they are able to make it, great. If not, then that's fine too. But, you know, we don't put pressure on them. You have to be here if they have work. And we always encourage them to invite their friends over and stuff like that, you know, to dine with us. And we just share what we feel like God is doing and praying a blessing over our kids and really just making it a sacred space for family and to really be intentional about praying over our kids and just reminding them about who God is and his promises. So that's kind of a glimpse of what we have. And then Saturdays, you know, we're really trying to take that ground that we've surrendered. We used to do family devotions every single night since the kids were little. And as they became teenagers, fighting with them became a hassle, and it was just like devotion time turned into arguing time. And so it became exhausting, and we just let it go. We stopped doing devotions, and we were just doing them every so often for about 2 years. And it had really been heavy on my heart. You need to get that time back. And so we have. So that's kind of the things that God has been doing in my heart, things that he's trying to rearrange and restructure that I'm really trying to be open to. I'm really trying to be cognizant of what he's trying to say and what he's trying to do and just implementing it, whether I understand it or not, whether it costs more work for us to do, like more cooking and more preparation and things like that. And just being obedient to that. So what is God calling you to? What is God calling you to restructure? What is he calling you to implement? What is he calling you to strip away? This is the season to do it. So when I was praying about the episode and what I really felt like God was wanting to put out there, mobilization was the word I kept feeling in my heart. And I've been feeling it for a while, really. It's kind of been rumbling in my spirit, mobilization, but it's been in and out of waves, but it's been kind of like along that theme, mobilizing his daughters. And I saw a picture of that when the Esthers were being called to Washington, D.C., and I'm so thankful to God that he allowed us to be a part of that amazing congregation of women. That is what I feel like God has been doing, and he is continuing to do that. And so I'm going to share this verse that goes along with what I'm sharing. And this is from Isaiah chapter 13, starting at verse 1. This is the burden against Babylon that Isaiah, son of Amos, received. Raise a banner on a barren hilltop. Call aloud to them. Wave your hand that they may enter the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones, that's you, that's us. I have even summoned my warriors, that's us, his daughters, to execute my wrath and exult in my triumph. And being able to execute what God is wanting to do in the earth and in our families and in our own lives is going to require a type of relationship with him that is strongly woven together. It's going to require intentionality and a stripping away and a restructuring into how he is wanting us to live out our life. And then when you get Isaiah chapter 13, verse 4, listen, a tumult on the mountains like that of a great multitude. Listen, an uproar among the kingdoms like nations gathered together. You know, God is calling women of every nation, tribe, and tongue. You know, there's no one type of woman. He is calling every woman, all women from all backgrounds, stay-at-home moms, working moms, even mothers who have been barren. I know that kind of sounds like an oxymoron, but even if you still have a mother's heart, you still have a desire for children, and you are still in that group. And this also is not isolated to just mothers, but just women in general. And I do believe that it does require having a mother's heart in the sense of desiring to shepherd those around you. And it goes on to say, the Lord of hosts is mobilizing an army for war. What is that war? Guys, some of us have been fighting battles since we've been coming out the womb. We have been born into families that have stifled, stripped away a lot of who we are. And we've grown up, many of us, wondering, who am I? And battling a lot of our identity and who we are in Christ. And just constantly feeling like, oh, maybe we're getting a little bit of a bit of a breakthrough, and then we delve right into another battle, and then we're getting a little bit of a breakthrough, and then it's like, you know, and that kind of becomes the trend of our life, and we're like, can I just break through and stay broken through already, you know? And there are some things that we've broken through that we've stayed consistent in, whether it's the Lord has delivered us from guilt or shame or condemnation or things like that. But maybe shame comes in a different way, in a different form. So it's not like shame has been completely broken off, but it may have been broken off in a specific area of your life that was really causing a hindrance, whether, you know, it was shame of having an abortion or living a certain lifestyle or keeping a certain practice hidden that you didn't want people to know about, whether it's some type of addiction like alcoholism or drug abuse or things like that. And, you know, we've been free of that, and the Lord has broken that, the shame of that off of us. But maybe it manifests in a different way. Maybe the shame and the guilt is coming at us, maybe because we're not spending enough time with our kids, or maybe because, you know, we're not reading the Bible like we should, and we're feeling like we're constantly falling short. Maybe many of us may feel like we're just clinging to the edge of the cliff, just like waiting for, you know, either the strength to build up or for us to finally just get this, you know, to just let go and hope that we land on our feet, mobilized. I looked up the meaning of that. And it means to organize and encourage people to act in a concerted way in order to bring about, I just mixed a little bit of country on there, to bring about a particular political objective, bring into use in order to achieve a particular goal, make something movable or capable of movement. These are like the verbs that go along with it, to deploy, summon, muster, rally, assemble, organize. This is what I feel like God is doing. He is assembling and mobilizing women. And it starts with being obedient in the small things. Maybe God's putting on your heart, wake up 15 minutes early and dedicate 15 minutes to me the first time, you know, as soon as you wake up. Or maybe God's calling you to fast, or maybe God's calling you and you know you're being prepared for something, but you don't know what it is. You're just like, I don't know, I'm feeling like I need to do this. And I know I haven't been as obedient in the past, and I've lived a lifestyle of just staying stuck in my Christianity. I felt like, guys, talking about stuck, let me tell you what happened. So there I was driving down the street, and there is this creek that we like to go to. Well, I'm like, you know what? I need some time to just clear my mind, pray, listen to God. And I like going to the spot because, you know, it's, I love the sound of water. I just was imagining myself sitting at the edge of this creek and just with my notepad and all these beautiful messages coming from the Lord. And I'm just writing, this is what is going on in my imagination because, you know, I got to romanticize everything. But you know, it does sound, it sounds nice. Oh my gosh, let me tell you what happened to me. Unbelievable. So somebody, I don't know who, decided they were going to go ahead and pour some fresh sand down this road. They decided that they weren't going to grade it properly. So we're starting off great. I'm going down the road and I'm just like, okay, I'm almost there. I'm going to park, get out, do my thing. No, I wasn't going to park and I wasn't going to get out and I was going to do my thing. I'm going to tell you what did happen though. What happened was I'm driving down the newly sanded road. Well, because it wasn't graded properly, there was this huge mound of sand. I mean, you couldn't see it. You just figure, you know, everything looks level from your vantage point. No, I got stuck and I was like, God, no, God, this is okay. Make matters worse. There is no cell reception. Yeah. Can't get a hold of my husband. Can't call tow truck, nothing. I'm like, great. Just sit there after I had to accept the reality of my situation because I was in denial. Get out of the car, start walking to the main road to try to get some reception. So I walk, I don't know, maybe it was like 4 miles-ish to the main road. Finally get reception, call my husband, dispatch the troops. I'm like, well, I'm just stuck in the car, so take your time. I'll be there. And so I was waiting for him to come. I'm just sitting there like, man, this is not going the way I planned. But oh my gosh, I know I'm not going to live there, right? I know I'm stuck. I know it's just a matter of getting out of this situation. This is how we are spiritually. Some of us are just stuck. There was nothing I could do. I'm there. I'm like, well, I'm going to just, you know, pray and tap in and, you know, try to make the most of it. I don't want this time wasted or squandered. And I ended up falling asleep while I'm praying in the car. And, you know, along the way, people who were trying to get access down the road saw that I was stuck and did attempt to try to help. And they were amazing. And finally, my husband comes and they're like, hey, she belonged to you. And, you know, so here comes my knight in shining armor to rescue me. And I did. I tried everything I could to get out of it. I mean, I was on my hands and knees trying to dig myself out. I did not want to be stuck. So many times we find ourselves in situations where we get stuck and we're like discouraged. And sometimes we think this is just life. I might as well just build my house here and live in this stuckness and just accept it for what it is. But when we get stuck in our spiritual life, we're not meant to just stay there, okay? Sometimes it's just for a season. I was stuck there for maybe, I don't know, a good 2.5-ish hours. We're not meant to just maybe a little bit longer than that now that I'm computing this time. But you guys get my point. We're not meant to just stay there. And it gets discouraging and we're just like, oh, you know, the sun is beating down and it just is draining you. And but when we are in those moments of waiting, that's what I'm gonna call it, waiting for help. We have to engage. We have to engage with the Lord's heart and try to hear what it is that He is trying to lead us to do. And sometimes it's just to rest in Him. Because so many times we are just ready to go, 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 do our thing. You know, praying is just another mark on the to-do list. Reading our Bible is just another thing on the to-do list. And God doesn't want us to treat our relationship with Him like something on the to-do list. The same way we don't want our spouse to treat us like spending time with us is something that they have to do, but it's an honor. Like, oh my gosh, I really need to spend time with you today. I needed to laugh today, or I just needed somebody to talk to, or I need it. And this is how God wants us to have a relationship with Him. He doesn't want us to just be sitting there like, dear God, what do I even say to you? And trust me, I've been there so many times. And sometimes we have to start from a place of obedience, and things will grow and we will mature from there. And that's fine. God wants us to start where we're at. Come as we are. That is fine. We don't have to try to fix ourselves before we come to Him or before we have relationship with Him. Just come as we are. If we're struggling in prayer and we don't even know what to say half the time, come that way and be honest with that and just say, Lord, I don't even know what this relationship. See, sometimes if you can't say it, just sing it. If what our relationship is supposed to look like. And that is fine. We need to always be honest with the Lord. That is so important, because we can start from there. We can grow from that place of honesty. So here's my challenge, and this is what I've been feeling. Mobilizing, like I shared. Feel like God is summoning women. He has been preparing you out there. And maybe I don't know what point you are in that journey. So I'm going to be launching a prayer challenge. The biggest thing I feel like we need to strengthen as women of faith and women who need to learn to engage in warfare is prayer. We have to be articulate in prayer and a lifestyle of fasting. Sounds extreme, I know. I was listening to this phenomenal woman, Issa Ego. Gosh, I'm going to mess up her name, but she's a Nigerian queen, this lady. She like challenges me and I love it. But she was talking about how she prays for at least 3 hours a day. And I was like, oh my God, I feel like a warrior if I pray for 30 minutes. And I'm saying that out loud. That really convicted me. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do that. I want to pray for 3 hours. I want to at least aim for that. You know that saying, you shoot for the moon, you fall short, you land on a star. Okay, so maybe I get to 2 hours. Maybe I get an hour and a half. I don't care. And that's what I'm going to aim for. That is going to be my target. And if I don't get there, not going to beat myself up. I'm going to do the best that I can, because I'm going to keep practicing and practicing and practicing until I get to that point. So I'm inviting you to that challenge with me. I know it's crazy, crazy good, because a lot of us are stuck. So a lot of us are stuck in the car and we can't move forward. So this, I feel like if all of us band together with our powers combined, like Captain Planet, we can help loosen things in each other's life, in our own life. And that doesn't happen by just sitting here wishing and hoping. And it takes engagement, and we have to engage with the Lord's heart. We have to engage with what He is wanting to release in our life and in the world. And we can't get there by just saying as we're falling asleep at night or whatever. And even if prayer looks like on your driving your kids to school, you know that you have a half an hour drive to work, use that time in prayer. Say, I'm going to set this 30 minutes aside driving to work, and that's an hour right there. So boom, you knock that, put your worship music on, and let's go to town. I have been feeling sometimes like when I get into prayer, I'm going to be real. I'm just like staring. I'm like, what do I say? What do I talk about? Okay. I feel like I've already prayed about everything because I really don't. I'm just thankful. This is what I'm going to, what's the word? This is what I'm going to implement. Praying the scriptures, praying the word of God. I'll give you an example. This is what we're going to be doing. Okay. Isaiah 61. This is beautiful. I love this verse. Let's talk about it. So when we pray and we get stuck, open your Bible. Let's start. Let's say, you know, you're feeling Isaiah 61. Say you're not even feeling anything, whatever. Just find something. And let's pray. The Spirit of the Lord God is on me. It's on my family because the Lord has anointed us to preach good news to the poor. He has sent us to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of our God's vengeance, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified, that they shall build up the ancient ruins. We shall raise up the former devastations. We shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. And when you feel like the Lord, the Holy Spirit is prompting you to stop in that moment, just stay there and pray that. And like for me, this is where I'm feeling stuck. And so I'm just going to lean into that and just say, Father, I thank you that you have called us to be a people that are builders, people that are strategizers, Lord. Father, that you have called us to be repairers, to really hone in and listen to those around us, those who are hurting, those who are mourning, those who are going through such rough situations, Father. I pray that you give us eyes to see what your Spirit is leading us to do and be responsive to. Father, I thank you that you've called us to raise up, to repair generations of devastations, Lord, not just in my bloodline, but in the bloodline of others, Lord. You are calling people to a life of freedom. You're calling people to a life of victory. You are calling the captives to be set free and for the brokenhearted to be bound. Lord Jesus, I pray that you give me a vision of what this looks like. I pray that this anointing will not just fall on me, but it will fall on my children, that it will fall onto those that I come into contact with. Father, that I will be a carrier of your Spirit, of your presence, wherever I walk into, whether it's Walmart, a church, a meeting in my home. Father, may I exude a spirit of breakthrough because you are calling your women to be women of breakthrough, to be women of triumph. Not only will we break out of the prisons, but we will break others out of the prisons and we will set those captives free. So Father, I pray for the oil of unity to be poured out on all your women. I come against the spirit of feminism, the spirit of selfishness, that Jezebel spirit. Father, you are calling us to be a women united. You are mobilizing your women to listen to the sound of your voice, to know the heartbeat of our Father, to walk a life of victory and confidence. But Father, I thank you that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers, against this dark age. Father, I pray that you give us strategy. Give us strategy. Give us hearts that desire to commune with you. Father, I thank you that you are extending this invitation to your daughters. You are mobilizing us. You are utilizing us for your great purposes. I pray that we will hear your voice and respond to it in such a powerful way. in Jesus' name. So this is going to be my challenge every day. I don't know if you guys are on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. I'm going to, those are all linked in my description. So every day I'm going to list a prayer focus and join along with me, pray along with me, and let's get to that 3-hour mark. I think we're too much in the comfort. Our mentality as American Christians is to gravitate towards comfort. So let's enlarge the tent pegs of our prayer life. Let's enlarge the tent pegs of our worship. Let's enlarge the tent pegs of our hearts to make more room for the Spirit. If we are spending, 30 minutes to an hour scrolling on social media, set aside that time for prayer. And like I said, if you're struggling in your prayer life, pick out a verse, pray the Psalms. I like praying the Psalms. Pray Proverbs or whatever it is. If you're lacking wisdom, start in Proverbs. If you're lacking faith, go to Hebrews. Hebrews faith. That's kind of, but anyways, something to really direct your prayer life and to keep your eyes focused on what you're praying over our families, praying over our nation, praying for us, praying for our marriages. There's so much attack that is going on right now. Praying for our health. Let's really contend. Let's get angry. Let's not feel sorry for ourselves and staying stuck, because I do that. I have a tendency sometimes to start feeling sorry for myself when I get in moments of life where I am stuck or I feel like I am running my life in a loop. And instead, we need to get angry, righteous anger, and say, no, no, I'm done. I'm done feeling this way. I'm done seeing my children struggling with anxiety. I'm done seeing my children struggle with depression. I'm done dealing with arguing in my marriage. I'm done with us always feeling like we're misunderstanding each other. We're never getting to each other's heart and we're never achieving breakthrough when we're trying to have the same conversations over and over again. It's like regurgitated mess that we're talking to each other. Stop right there. We have to do things differently. We have to see where the break is in our structures that we have created. And if it's not working, we need to invite the Holy Spirit in. If we're sick and tired of arguing with our kids to do their chores, do their schoolwork, stop hanging out with these kids, stop. Let's invite the Holy Spirit into these situations. It's not by might nor by power, but it is by His Spirit. We need to be women of prayer, women of wisdom, women who know that the strength isn't going to come from me. I can't change my kid's heart. I've been trying for freaking God knows how long, and this is the third kid I've been trying. And it's not working. So I'm going to contend in prayer for this one. I'm going to cover them. While you're cooking, sauteing your vegetables, take that olive oil, slap it on your hand and slap it on that kid's head and say, in the name of Jesus, I pray blessing. I pray favor. I pray the wisdom and knowledge of God over you in Jesus' name. Out of our bellies, ladies, shall flow rivers of living water. And we have to get the living water in us first. We have to first drink from the well in order for us to extend that to our families and to our community and those around us. It should be just flowing. Like when somebody's going through something, that word should just be activated. As their issues hit our ears, our hearts need to be activated, say, well, you know what? This is what God says. This is what the scripture says. And leading them on paths of righteousness and being women that know what the truth is, because the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon us. He has anointed you to preach good news. He has sent you to the brokenhearted. He has sent you to the poor. He has sent you to these people. Your kids' friends walk through that door and You know there's nobody there speaking into their life. You know they're going through some things. This is who God has brought in your path. Be faithful with the people that God has brought in your path. Disciple them. And you don't have to sit down and read a whole verse to them. But change the diet by you being faithful to what God is calling you to do, by changing the structures in your home or implementing what he's calling you to do. They become a part of that just by coming into your home. Anoint your home. Pray over your home. Pray over the kids in your home. Look, I won't force myself to pray over kids, but if I see, hey, can I pray? You mind if I do this? Are you comfortable? And if they're not comfortable, you pray for them behind their back. There's something that kids are innately hungry for. They are hungry for truth. They are ripe. We are ripe for truth. They are. So let God use you. We have to be faithful though. So my prayer for you is that you tap in, God, what is it that you want me to restructure in my life, in my home? Don't worry about what your husband's doing. Don't worry about your wife. Don't worry about what your kids are doing. Worry about what God's calling you to do. You be faithful to what he's calling you to do. You be the breaker. And whatever, if he's implemented, look, shut the TV down, shut the noise down. I want you guys outside more. Let him give you those ideas, those strategies. Implement that. Implement that. Maybe he wants you to go to church on Wednesday nights and nobody else is going and everybody wants to put up a fight. So what? You be faithful. You do what God is calling you to do. And in your faithfulness, you lift now I got to find that verse. You know, okay, there it is. John 12:32. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. I know that's probably talking about his resurrection, but when we lift up God in our lives, he will draw people to himself. He will draw people to himself. So you lift God up in your life. You raise the standard in your life. You pray, you fast, you do those things. God will be faithful to move around you. He will. But we have to tap into what he's calling us to do first. Okay, that's my rant. That's my invitation. So if you haven't followed me on social, do so so that you can be a part of this prayer challenge. If you are somebody who needs prayer, this will be a perfect time to hit up in the comments what you need prayer for so we can all be in agreement and pray with you. Not just pray for you, pray with you, because you have to learn how to fight too. And I get we go through moments where we're weak, but when when the Bible says, let the weak say I am strong, let the poor say I am rich, we need to be speaking that, okay? So if you're going through a hard time, let the weak say I am strong. I know I wake up tired 24/7, but I'm going to stop declaring that I am strong. I am full of life. I am equipped. I am able. I am called. I am anointed. We need to start prophesying over ourselves. We need to start speaking the word of God and into our spirit. We need to start commanding, just like how David, why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. I know I've been through seasons of depression. I know just getting out of bed feels like you've, you know, climbed a mountain sometimes. I get that. And that's what I'm hoping we can accomplish, where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst. If we can all just pray for each other, even if we don't know who we are, but just the compassion that we've gone through the same struggles in some way or another, if we have witnessed others and we know that the toll it takes. Extending a hand of compassion is so necessary, but we don't want to get to a place where we're like making the person comfortable in their misery. We have to challenge, like, I get it that you're going through this, so let's pray. You pray. You prophesy over yourself. Even if you're doing it through tears or stumbling words, do it. when I started working out and want to get healthy, which I have to get back into that routine. But when I started, I was doing what the moderator was doing. And half the time I couldn't even do that, you know, but I would still move. Okay, I can't do the push-ups, but I'm going to still do my variation of the workout until I can build up the strength to do it. And it is the same thing with our prayer life. It's the same thing with spiritual life. Do a moderated version. Who cares? Just do it. Just show up and do it. And as you consistently build those spiritual muscles, next thing you know, the well that we're digging up wells, we're digging up that well, we're uncovering things that have been locked up inside of us that have been covered. And so we really need to just press in and get in deep into that. So that ways we can activate the calling, the identity, more importantly. Who are we? God, who do you say that we are? I want to walk that out. I want to live that out. I want my kids doing. Your kids can't do it if you're not doing it. So we have these expectations for our kids to step into something we don't want to step into. No. We got to step into it first. We got to step into our inheritance and our calling so that we could call those things out in our children, because Lord knows the battle is real out there. So look out on social media. I'm going to be posting prayer challenges. I'm going to share my progress. Notice how I said progress. I'm going to share my progress out there on how I'm doing with this challenge. Feel free for you guys to share it too. And I hope that you guys will join me and be encouraged by that. I just pray that the Lord will bless you all and keep you, and may his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May you walk into a life that he is calling you of strategy and wisdom and knowledge of who he is and revelation. May revelation be poured out, because it's like that's when the change happens, is when we really understand who God is and who he is to us, and that he's just not far off and distant, but he is so close and so near. So that's my prayer. Let revelation be flooded out. And if you guys were blessed by this content, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. And until next time, continue to rebuild your ruins. Bye, guys.
Rebuilding Ruins. Catch me every Tuesday. If this has blessed you, make sure to share. If you're watching on YouTube, leave a comment on how this episode impacted you or topics you would like to hear on future episodes. Don't forget to subscribe to keep up on all the latest content. Until next time, my fellow builders.